it wouldn't go down so well with a real sword, so I decided against it. But yeah, good morning, church, and it's such a privilege to be here among God's people. And yeah, the worship was amazing. Thanks, Renee, just to remind us of our position in Christ that we must never forget. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been hearing and talking about the armor of God. And we are reminded, and we will be reminded again today, that it is an armor that we have got to put on every day. It's not an occasional sort of dress that we're going to put on. It is something that is essential in our walk, that we put it on every day. I'm going to read for maybe the 10th time. I don't know how often we have read this text from Ephesians chapter 6. But if you have your Bibles, let's remind ourselves again about the armor of God. We've gone through 5 pieces of armor already, from the belt of truth to the breastplate of righteousness, to the helmet of salvation, the shoes of the gospel, and the shield of faith. Today's lesson is going to be about the sword of the Spirit, an offensive and defensive weapon. What we've seen in the last couple of weeks is that all of the armor that we have put on so far has been defensive. But let's just first go through what the word says in Ephesians 6, starting from verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, and it is there for a reason, because of what has gone before, because of the forces that are railing against us, for that reason, the word tells us, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And in going through that and the sword of the Spirit being named last, the impression may be created that there's a hierarchy of pieces of armor. When in actual fact, when we really look at it, all of the preceding pieces of armor, whether it's faith, whether it's righteousness, whether it's the gospel, whether it's salvation, all of these are embedded in the Word of God. And so the sword of the Spirit being mentioned as the last of these pieces of armor has a particular significance about the importance of the Word of God. And that is what I'd like us to really concentrate on today, the Word of God. And so I unapologetically am going to read from a number of texts about the Word of God and what it means for us and how that we are not able to fight this fight without the Word of God. And remember what it says, that the sword of the Spirit, it's not just any sword, it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we're going to look at that now. And in thinking about this, I was thinking, a general who teaches his army only to defend themselves is a lousy tactician, isn't he? If all you're doing is, you know, defending yourself against the moves of the evil one. And in any war, there are two sides, offense and defense. And that is what the Word of God is. The sword of the Spirit is both an offensive and a defensive weapon. We are able to attack the enemy, and we are able to defend what we believe in and to defend ourselves by using the Word of God. And that, for me, is such an important part of why we need the sword of the Spirit every day of our lives. And you realize that our Lord is the supreme tactician when it comes to fighting against the evil forces that are described in verse 12 of the passage that we just read. And one of the things that I realized from the Word is that our supreme general has not given us any order to retreat or to sign any peace treaties with the enemy. And I think, and if I remember when Michael Cassidy spoke, and he spoke about the armor, and Harvey constantly reminds us also that there is no armor on our backs. And so if we were to retreat, if we were to run away, our backs would be exposed. And so we are to face our enemy head on, and to take him, because we are more than well equipped. And the whole issue of there is no truce. You cannot make some kind of an agreement with the devil. I mean, he's the father of lies. And so if you are in a difficult situation in life, if you try to compromise in any way the truths of the gospel of Christ, you are signing that truce with him, that concession. And we've got to guard against that as well. What we've got to realize, friends, is that we have signed up for war. When we gave our hearts to the Lord, it wasn't to enter into some nice, comfortable space. We actually joined an army. And an army isn't there just to, you know, to look good and to parade, to parade and to look powerful. An army, the army of the Lord, is there to wage war against the evil one. And that is what we are called to do. And so that is why he tells us to take up the sword of the Spirit. And it's an active thing. It's not a passive issue. And as I said earlier on, and as the two boys indicated here earlier on, that I think it was Riley who said that it is both a weapon of offense and defense. We are able to use it for both of these. I was reading about Charles Spurgeon. Some of you will know Charles Spurgeon was a well-known preacher. And he said of the sword of the Spirit that Christ is not only glorified by what the sword of the Spirit reveals about him to us and about us to him, but it also, he's also glorified by what it conquers. And I thought quite a bit about that, because, and we'll read a text just now about what it reveals about God to us as well. And so we may ask, so the sword of the Spirit, what exactly is that? You're telling us it's the Word, but so what? And we go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. And it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, what are we taking up when we take up the sword of the Spirit? We are taking the power, the authority that is given to us to enter into warfare. We are taking up into ourselves Jesus Himself. We are not fighting this in our own strength, but the Word of God is living, and we'll read that just now. He is alive. He is the power that we get into our lives when we take up the sword of the Spirit. And it's the same word, logos, that is in John chapter 1, verse 1, that is used in Ephesians 6. It's the same word. It's the written word. And then somebody mentioned earlier just now about the spoken word, which is the rhema word of God. But in this context, logos is what is in John chapter 1, verse 1, and in Ephesians 6. The same word that was there at the creation of the world is available to you and I to fight our battles. And that is, for me, it's such a privilege knowing that I have that power, that strength in me. If we read in Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm saying here, there are a number of scriptures that either refer to the Word as the sword of the Spirit, or where the Word is used as a weapon to defend or offend. And if we look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So that is the Word of God. It is a living power that we have within us, the Spirit of God. And maybe one of the texts that is well known is in Matthew 4, where Jesus was in the wilderness and he was tempted a number of times by the devil. And what did he do? He didn't just say, devil, go away. No, he quoted the Word. And a number of times he quoted the Word in Matthew 4. I'll read that quickly. Then Jesus, from the first verse, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, men shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. And Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And it goes on. There's a couple of other temptations that the devil tried to lay before him. One of the things that struck me about that is the devil tries by all means to sow doubt in our minds. Even in our walk with God, if you are the Son of God, am I really? Am I really a child of God? Am I worthy of that? And he can so easily try to trick us into doubting our own salvation. And so we see there how that Jesus used the word, the written word. He was able to quote scripture. But you know what is also scary? Is that Satan also knows scripture. He also quoted. And so, but the difference there is that we have the Spirit of God in us, so that when we use the Word of God as a sword, it is powerful. And we'll read just now about how powerful it is to the pulling down of strongholds. And his knowledge, like with so many people that we may know, may be just head knowledge, but God, the Spirit of God, is in us to give us that strength to be victorious. Riley, when you had your, what is your thing called? Rapier or whatever it's called. I was thinking about, you know, when you watch movies with Roman soldiers practicing with their swords, it's actually very exciting. But when you look at what they do and how they take care of that weapon, how they make sure that the edges are sharp, and how they make sure that the point is sharp as well. Because I think your weapon is only the point, isn't it? Now this is a two-edged sword with a sharp point as well. And how they take care to make sure that that weapon is in perfect condition to enter onto the battlefield. Also, a soldier is never just given a sword and said, okay, go and fight. No, he spends many hours, many days, many months even, preparing, being trained in how to use his weapon. And so it is with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Our master trainer is the Holy Spirit. And we need to spend time in the guidance of the Holy Spirit when we're going into the Word. Getting to know God's plan for us, but also getting to know how to counter the schemes of the devil, whose sole purpose is to deceive and to destroy the children of God. For this reason, we need to be able to use Scripture the way that Jesus did against him in the wilderness. So when we read and study Scripture, we are able to discern and receive what the Holy Spirit reveals, so that we are alert to the schemes of the evil one. And just as soldiers drill for many hours, some of you may have gone into what is it called, conscription that time, and you'll know that you spend many hours, many days, many weeks being drilled. And that drilling is to prepare for warfare, not just against flesh and blood in our case, but against the spiritual evil forces that are exercised, that are trying to dominate our lives. And so we need to, in that training, in going into the Word, we need to learn spiritual discipline and practice spiritual discipline of being in the Word of God. And it's been said before, but I'm going to say it again. As good as it is for us to be here on a Sunday morning in fellowship, the battlefield is out there. And we've got to be prepared when we step out of here to enter into that battle and to defend what we believe and what Christ has done for us, but also to go out and attack the evil one wherever we see him at work, in our lives, in the lives of our family. I was thinking about the message that we got from Musa this morning about the problems at the hospitals. And that is where we have got to use the Word of God to come against those kind of forces and to ensure that we trust him to bring about a peaceful resolution to those kind of things, because there are people dying in hospitals, and that cannot be of God. And so we need to use the word to come against those kind of forces. And so what should we be doing about the word? Just a couple of points that I want to put there. Firstly, we need to get into the habit of reading and studying the Word of God on a regular basis. It must not be an occasional thing, or when we are in a crisis, we then say, maybe there's something that God is saying to me in the Word. It must be a habit that we develop to spend time, because that is our exercise, that is our drill, that is how we learn discipline in the Word of God. And we'll get to know the Word the way a soldier gets to know his weapon. Secondly, we need to memorize the Word of God. Because there's no way that a soldier on the battlefield is going to say, oops, let me just go back to the manual and see what it says about how to wield the sword. No, he has to know. And so even with ourselves, we need to be able to come against the evil one. And this is where, when the Word of God has gone from beyond our minds into our hearts, and we're able to speak the Word of God, because we have really taken it. The Word of God is also referred to as the bread of life, and we need to be eating it as well. And when I looked at some of the verses in Revelations about the sword of the Spirit, and it even speaks about the sword sticking out of his mouth, and that is what we need to be doing, attacking the evil one with the sword that has been given to us. So it's a case of studying the Word, being regular in the reading of the Word, but equally to memorize, so that we are able to use the Word as Jesus did out in the wilderness. And remember that it is the Holy Spirit who both supplies us with the sword, but he is also the trainer who teaches us how to use it. So he is both provider and trainer. And yeah, we are so privileged to have that. Thirdly, we must ask God to reveal himself to us through his word. As it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. You can go there if you have your Bible. And it's what I mentioned a bit earlier. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit. And so we need to be spending that time with him so that we get to know his will as well. Because the more we learn about him, the closer we grow in relationship or in love with him as our Lord and Savior. And we are able then to know his will and his plans for us, and to distinguish between right and wrong, and also to protect us against the lies of the enemy. And as I'm going to wrap up now, it's so important to remember that the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, is not to be kept to ourselves. It is also offensive in terms of going out and preaching the gospel. And that is what the last commission that Jesus gave to his disciples. It is using the word to go out and to proclaim the gospel of Christ into a dark world. And doesn't the world need that at this time? When we look at the depravity, we look at the evil that is all around us. So that when we are asked what we believe, we should use the sword of the Spirit, that is the word of God, to point back to him. And fortunately, we are not called to do this in our own strength. It is his sword. And so if he is for us, who can be against us? We have got the supreme general on our side. And remember, there is power and authority when we use the sword of the Spirit. Paul reminds us, and I spoke about it at the beginning in Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. Sorry, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5. That the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And when I read that, two words struck me. They have divine power. They are powerful. And the word demolish. Some of the other translations talk about breaking down strongholds. But this one uses the word demolish. And that really is the power that we have in using the sword. And so my encouragement to all of us as we come towards the end of the teachings on the armor of God is that we must, on a daily basis, intentionally put on the armor of God. Lord, I put on the helmet of salvation so that my thoughts will be protected against the attacks of the evil one. I put on the breastplate so that I am my innermost being is protected against the attacks of the evil one, and so on. And all of these find themselves, their strength, their power, their authority in the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is the very presence of Jesus in our lives. Amen.